Welcome back to another edition of the Tire Less Than podcast. This is episode 343 for those stat fans. I am Ben Thomas, and I'm joined by my very good friend across the pond, Ross Webber. How are you, mate?
Doing good today, mate. How are you doing? Good weekend?
I'm all right. I'm stinking cold
in the middle
of summer, but I'm sure the sympathy will be rolling in after this. But
exactly.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm kind of buzzing to talk about some actual news today.
Seriously, so, things actually started happening.
Yeah, we've got a lot on our plate. Before we do that, massive thanks to ZCZ Films, who, of course, are our traditional sponsors, and let us just do what we do, basically. You know, they're great. So thank you very much to those guys for chipping in and allowing us to create premium quality content for you guys to listen to, read about, whatever you do with it. So, yeah, thanks very much to those guys. We're going to get into a bit of a recap, I think. So we'll do that now, Ross.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
I kind of, when I was thinking about this podcast, I was, this edition of the podcast, I was kind of like, there's some bad stuff, but there's also some good stuff that's happened since the last time we spoke, which was pretty much bang on a week ago.
Yeah.
Let's kind of do the semi-bad stuff first of all. Obviously, we had a game against Sutton in amongst all the news and everything else that was going on social media, and with, you know, Senna's officially coming in and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, we lost. Everyone knows that. It kind of highlighted that we've got no players or pretty much zero strength and depth, which is what we talked about last week, really. And kind of really, we're effectively 3 weeks / three games behind everybody else. Out of those three things, what is the biggest concern for you at the moment, mate?
I do still think that the players are, you know, or the lack of players, I should say, is really concerning. Obviously, we talked about that, I would say, at length last week, talking about needing center mids and things like that. I'm not too worried about a preseason loss to Sutton personally. Obviously, it would be nice to just get back to winning ways sometime soon, but I'm more bothered about that happening once the League One season starts, obviously. So, you know, first game where Sellers is actually there on the touchline, compared to what Reading were doing last season, I do not think this is going to be a particularly easy style of football for the players to learn just like that. So, you know, it's going to take a little while for them to get on with that. But you're bang on, they are behind schedule now on recruiting, on getting, you know, the message into the players' heads, getting the game plan installed. We're behind. So if the team starts slow, we'll know where that started, right? It started in the boardroom. And at least we're doing bits now.
Yeah, well, the reason I say kind of three games, obviously Wimbledon was a dead rubber. Bristol was cancelled for no fault of our own, really, in terms, well, I suppose you could say we went to Spain. We didn't probably need to go to Spain, but, you know, flights were cancelled, so we couldn't fulfil the Bristol game. And then obviously Sutton, which again was just a bit of a non-event, really. And you're right. You don't look at pre-season and go, wow, you know, unless you're a massively avid fantasy league player, you know, you're not looking at people's stats again, okay, well, they've done this or that or whatever.
Yeah.
So there is an element of it being sort of 3 weeks, three games behind. But the tide has turned a little bit, as you say, in terms of doing bits, because we've actually got some players in and we've got a manager in. What do you want to start with first? You know, obviously we've got Sellers, that was touted weeks ago. Nibs, we talked about a few weeks ago as well, and that's been in the rumour. The one that's sort of come out over the last couple of days is Sam Smith.
Yeah.
So we've got those three in, which is massive. Where do you want to start one of those first?
I'll start with Sellers again. We've got a piece coming out very soon on recruitment under Sellers that also dives into how he might play a little bit. And we talked about 4-2-2-2, and I'm not going to mention it that many times this podcast because people will be sick of it. But also
what the maths then? I thought, is that right?
I know. Yeah. Trying to remember this many lines in a formation. It's just not with me, but no, I think that we saw some sort of 4-2-2-2, 4-3-3 sort of thing. So good to have Sellers in. That's the thing thing for me that's most important, because like I say, it's going to take a while to learn this game plan. It's very, very different from, well, I wouldn't necessarily say it's different from what we did last season. It just is a game plan, whereas last season's game plan was reductive, to say the least. So yeah, Cela's being in, that's exciting. And our first Spanish manager ever, you know, maybe the, you would think that the quality of the passing is going to go up no matter what, you know, maybe not quite to the level of the Yapstam days where we were sort of just pinging it around at the back for fun, just to see how long we could keep the ball for. This should be a bit more incisive, should be interesting. So yeah, excited, very excited to have Cela.
For those of you on audio only, Ross has got a little, maybe a 2008 Spain shirt peeking behind him.
That's true. Yeah.
Is it 2008?
It is, yeah, and that's very good. So that's actually right before, that's the one they won the World Cup in. And so it's prior to them having the star on it.
I know my shirts.
There you go.
I know my shirts.
Very good.
Question for you on Sellers. Do you think he's got a more difficult job with the limited players that he's got now, trying to fit them and make them play his system? Or do you think it's more difficult to go and recruit the players that he needs to play that system?
Something that I liked that he said today to kind of jump off that was that he wanted, when he was doing his press conference, he said that he wanted to have players to announce within the hours and days rather than within the weeks, right? And so I think that he understands that the squad that he saw against Sutton on Saturday, that's probably going to form the backbone of the depth of the squad, but there is need for new players, and maybe those QPR trialists will come in and that'll take care of some of that pretty quickly. But I think that he's going to have like a deadline almost, right? Like by the end of this week, it's going to get to a point whereby, as much as he'd like to be working with like players more before the season starts, he's just going to have to work with what he's got. So I wouldn't be surprised if, because like you said, we're a little bit behind, this team hasn't really properly been put together until a few weeks into August, if not until transfer deadline day. Could definitely be, you know, a little bit of a struggle in those first couple of weeks. So I think that working with a smaller squad is normally something that managers like. So I think after a while, you know, he'll still integrate new signings, obviously, but he's just going to have to make a cutoff and say, these are the players that I'm working with to install my philosophy for weeks 1 through 4. And then, you know, you get through. I mean, how many times have Reading had poor starts to the season, then gotten to the international break, and then come back and blaze through like that period from the international break until about what, November? I would call that Thanksgiving time over here. So like that little period.
Version of that. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Look, we're not great starters. You know, even in the season, we lost, as everyone knows, first time going to Plymouth, who, you know, was absolute uproar at that point, bearing in mind the amount of money that we'd spent, you know, during the summer on players like Lita and so on. We're not great starters, but I think, you know, coming off the back of what happened certainly last week, but moreover on Saturday against Sutton, you know, that in isolation, those two are quite alarming results, but we all know the reasons for that. You know, we know that that team is not going to look like that moving into League One against Peterborough at home on the 5th of August. But bringing, you know, from a mental point of view, in terms of being a fan, bringing a player in on a Monday at the start of what is essentially a week that is just consumed with training can only be a positive, you know. Yeah. And if we're able to bring in players every single day this week, which is unlikely but not impossible, that's going to set us up really, really well for the game, you know, against Southampton on Saturday. So there is still time. I'm just not sure how much time we've actually lost and how quickly he can get these players to play Cela's ball, basically. That's what we're looking for. And what, you know, as fans, we want to be secure in the knowledge and go, well, you know, if we're sat in a pub or at home or whatever on the Friday before the first game, can we predict the lineup? That's kind of where we want to be. And at the moment, if we were to do that, it's just a mess, really.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a great point. And I think when you're talking about preseason, because I'm looking at the squad now for Saturday, and when you're looking at preseason fixtures, you sort of have to forget the badges and forget the team names and actually look at the sheet and be like, okay, so I'm looking at this sheet. Is Bouzanis going to start the season? Probably not. Is Abrefa going to start the season? If Yeardom's back, probably not. Kelvin E, again, I'm hiding from that name.
Ihabitamu. That's Asa.
Very
I'm
good.
pretty sure it's Asa.
All right, so I'll point to you when I need that name said. But yeah, I mean, like, these aren't necessarily players that are going to take us straight back up into the championship at the first time of asking. So, like, I think we have to look at it from that perspective as much as anything. And then when it comes to learning Sellersball, Holmes and McIntyre, Hutchinson, whoever, they're going to have a little bit of unlearning to do before they can get that in.
Yeah, I thought Hutchinson's comments were quite interesting after the game. Like, he, you know, he kind of admitted what every fan is thinking, and the fact that A, we haven't got the strength and depth and we need players desperately, and B, you know, he kind of made this comment about everyone always thinks I'm injured, and it's not, kind of alluded to the fact that it wasn't really his fault. And, you know, I don't know what he meant by that, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But what we really need as a football club is to have a good season out of Hutchinson, and he, from his own personal point of view, he needs to kind of get going with these appearances, because for me, you know, based on what we've got right now and a fit Hutchinson, you know, I said last week, you know, last season, pre-season, he was absolutely outstanding. So that's kind of what we need back, really. And hopefully we can do that both for the team's sake, but also for, you know, for his personal pride, really.
Yeah, I would agree. 33.
I have two players I want to focus in on before we have a look at the mailbags. It's quite a fat one this week, really. Sam Smith's obviously come back, and he signed a 3-year contract today. Obviously, discussions were ongoing before that, but that's been announced today. And one of the things that I guess backtracking, I'm not against the move. I think that will probably work out quite well for both parties. I think the level that we're at now and what he's bringing, I think that's a good fit, right?
Yeah.
But one of the things I asked, you know, the group for the Tile West End group, like the WhatsApp thing, and got shot down by someone who I won't mention, Simeon, was, are there any players in kind of recent memory, because I'm a little bit older than some of the other guys in the group, that have come back to the club and done well in second spells? And I guess really, like, one of my things always is never go back. If you've done something, whatever it is in life, never go back. Sam Smith is obviously coming back for his second spell. First spell wasn't exactly a disaster, but it wasn't, you don't walk around going, oh yeah, Sam Smith, legend, whatever. So he's got an opportunity to correct that. And the only ones that we could come up with really that had kind of what we'd class as good second spells, Matt Miazga in modern times, who's quite frankly a fantastic centre-back for us.
Yep.
Going back even further, Marcus Hanneman, who was on loan and then joined kind of permanently and was part of the team, basically. And even further back from that was AD Williams, who obviously left to join Wolves and then came back on loan and then re-signed permanently. Other than that, Ross, can you think of any other players that have come, you know, left Reading and then come back and done all right?
That's actually a really tough one now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, because Long last season, unfortunately, wasn't exactly the fairy tale return. I think we had more fun in the crowd, you know, at away games, cheering as he walked by and things like that with Long than we did with him on the field, which is a shame. And with, of course, with his beautiful singing voice, but I digress. Nicky Shorey? Was he that bad when he came back?
Well, he was around the same time as Dave Kitson coming back, wasn't he, second time? And it just didn't,
oh,
you know, he went for a spell. We got a little bit desperate of bringing those players back. Don't Google it. I tried to Google
it.
With all sorts of nonsense.
I think
I can see what you're doing. I can see it. Like,
yeah, no, you
I
can,
tried
yeah.
to do that earlier and it just didn't work.
I think Nicky Shorey might be the only Reading, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think he might be the only Reading player to have worn every Reading Premier League shirt. Because he would have been the only one who played for Reading in all three Premier League seasons. I think that's right.
I'm nodding, but I don't know.
Tell me in the comments if I'm wrong, you know, like...
Oh, he's got YouTube with that.
Yeah,
he's proper YouTube blogger. Tell me in the comments what you want to see next. I love that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, yeah, look, I mean, Sam Smith's got an opportunity to kind of buck that trend of recording a kind of a semi-exclusive club as three players.
I'm excited about Sam Smith. And I like that they're picking up players that already have a connection, because so with Nibs and Smith, obviously, they've played together for the last couple of years. And a few of the assists that Nibs got last year went to Smith. So that's good news. And in a team that's going to have to learn each other very quickly, to have players, especially in similar position groups that already have relationships, great. Good with that. Next thing to say, he's gotten more than 10 goals In his last two seasons in League One, 15 a year ago and 13 last year. He started all but one game in the last 2 years. So I like the starts stat personally. Like, obviously with strikers, you want them to score goals. I mean, that is their bread and butter, right? But I was saying this with Nibs as well. Players that have consistently started more and more games as their career goes on under different managers as well, that's only a good sign. If they're being trusted to start, even when they're not necessarily scoring every week, it's because they're doing something else. Either they're leading the press well, you know, they're energetic off the ball. And I think that's just something that Reading are going to need. It's going to give us something very different from Andy Carroll. Are we done in the striking department? Not so sure about that, but not a bad pickup at all at this level, and hopefully Sam Smith becomes the returner that we're all excited about.
And you know, ultimately, he obviously had other offers. I think he wants to be here. That's the bottom line. That's my impression. And you know, he probably felt a little bit hard done by last time when he kind of was bombed out of the club and moved on. But actually, like, yeah, I think it's a positive all round. And
yeah.
One day I might write a book on the undervalue of or underappreciation of strikers, but until then, I agree with you in terms of what you're saying. And the other one I want to focus on, and this is a kind of a yes or no and why. Joe Lumley resurfaced this weekend, split the fan base quicker than a badly made meringue, Ross.
That is
do you have meringues in America?
We do, but not as common. And you know, I did have to explain to some Americans what an eaten mess is. So it's on the line, you know.
Yeah, love an eaten mess. Love the textures.
Yeah.
But yeah, Joe Lumley, are you yes or no and why?
I feel like whichever way I go is sticking your head above the parapet here. I'm no on Lumley.
Okay.
I like Lumley as a person. I think that he's a pretty cool dude. I liked when he was on, you know, camera last year. I thought that was good. I liked how he interacted with the fans. You know, he's always giving it the big one with away fans and, you know, interacting with the fans. I think all of that stuff's great. If you look at his stats, they are not great. And I think that it's fair to say that on claiming crosses and things like that, he was pretty good. I would urge anyone who's like, well, that's the most important thing, to go and take a look at Luke Southwood's collecting crosses stats as well, because they're somewhat similar, despite the fact that Luke Southwood was often criticized for not really collecting the ball in his box well from crosses and things like that. Lumley was perfectly fine last year, but he wasn't. There were not that many games where he made saves that kept us in the game. I'm sure some people are going to disagree with that, but I think that for the amount of games that you'll find that he kept us in a game, he also lost us games for the opposite reason. So Lumley, great guy. Wish him all the best. Statistically, quite a way below other Reading goalkeepers from the last few seasons. Difficult to say that I'm fully behind that one, but if there's nothing else going, then probably better than Bouzanis. Anderson, I'm not sure.
I think I feel about Lumley now the same way that I did about Rahman coming back last year. Like, kind of, what's the point? You know, defense is been such an issue for us over the last few years. I don't see why you'd keep bringing back the same players and kind of trying to do the same stuff. And I know people go, oh, you know, it's all down to Paul Lintz. I mean, yeah, we can blame Paul Lintz for a lot of stuff, but when you've got a goalkeeper that needs to do just the basics, you know, and there were a lot of times last year, and I said it, you know, fair play to him. He bounced back a lot from last year and kind of worked his way into being sort of a bit of a semi-hero. But I don't know, I just feel like it's kind of Anderson or bust really this year, in terms of actually if they're not going to play him, he's going to go. Bouzanis, I'm not sold on at all. Still waiting to see if CBC is going to get a contract or sign a contract. So yeah, we'll watch this space. We'll watch this space. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, then I don't think it's a massive loss for us as a club. But again, we're just two men with opinions. That's all we are. Right, we're going to go straight into that before I lose my voice. Told you I was ill.
Yeah, so.
We're going to go straight into a big fat mailbag because we've got loads in there, actually. So, let's do that right now.
You're listening to the Tilehurst End podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans.
Okay. Rob Parker says, looking at the Sutton game, you can't read too much into it, but getting in a couple of centre backs would be an option. I'm going to take this one, Rob. I'm going to say absolutely. We've talked about depth all the way through the summer. We're getting players in now that are realistically going to be starting options, but we're going to need some backups. You know, we know that that's an Achilles heel of this team, and actually, there are some significant issues and have been some significant issues with not just the individuals, but combinations of centre back as well. So that's, you know, as I think Ross said last week, I don't think I know, you know, the centre midfielders are a key point as well. So that spine of the team has got to be spot on, really. NKDing43, I like that. I don't know why. I don't think I should, but I like that handle. They say, why do you think we haven't signed any more players yet, considering we need so many signings in such a short amount of time? Yeah, Ross, why have we not signed more players? Why
I
is it
think
your
that I need to
thing?
get working harder in the boardroom on me and Pang going together down by the, you know, the coffee shop to get the transfer sorted out. Not working out right now, but no, why are we not signing players? Well, I mean, I think there's good news that it's, what is it? It's Monday, July 17th, and Reading announced another player today. So that's good news, right? Like they're now they seem to be moving. Like I said, Sellers said that he wants to have signings coming through the door within hours and days rather than weeks. That might just be the QPR trainees or tryouts that we saw over the weekend. I'd be fine if that was the case, because obviously they're sentiments and that's what we need.
Play together as well. They know each
Yeah,
other.
and they've played together. Again, we're just picking up more players that have a relationship, which is really, really great. But I think it's obviously been difficult. Sellers only managed to get to the country last week, and he said that was partly down to the issues with the tax and things like that. So I think that tax thing has basically crippled our ability to do much of anything until now. And it still seems like we're not paying transfer fees. We're just doing free agents and things like that. So I think
Well,
that.
on top of that, you know, one of the key points to come out today was that I think either Sellers said or alluded to in kind of the bullet points that I saw before we, you know, jumped on air, was that we're not under the embargo, rather, but we can't spend any money.
Yeah,
So
which.
I don't know how that works. Like it, I don't know. So we're looking at free transfers, which, you know, by the hour is the pool is getting smaller, right? You
Yeah.
know, in terms of what the options are. So I think, you know, if we answer that question again this time next week, I think we probably have at least three or four more through. So I think it's going to start to grow, really.
One thing I will say, sorry, Ben, not to cut in, but one thing I'll say about free agents, and sort of other teams' problem will be our benefit to a certain degree. I think that Reading, while we can't spend transfer money, and I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but I think that they are going to be able to offer reasonably good contracts to free agents for League One to League Two levels, and also put in a clause to be like, hey, if we get promoted. Sounds ridiculous right now, but if Reading were to get promoted, then your wage might increase or something like that. So there are lots more free agents in the lower leagues now than there were a few years ago because of the effects of COVID are still happening. Teams are still struggling to find, or players are still struggling to find teams. Sorry, I noticed that Callum Harriott, who used to play for us, it took him like 2 years to find a new team or something like that after he left Reading, and now he's playing in either League One or League Two. So it's not like he was.
I think, was it York he signed for?
Yeah, I think
York
so. Yeah, so
one.
it's not like he's had to go all the way down to National League South level. It's just that free agents are finding it much harder to find a team than they did before the COVID pandemic. So while we've lost some time, I do think that we're going to be able to turn some heads in the free agent space, which is good.
I'm pretty sure, I'm just Googling this, I know it's an absolute waste of everyone's time. I could sing a song while I'm doing this, but Kwezi Appiah, who did play for us, has just signed for Boreham Wood.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, that's quite, like, you're talking about dropping down levels and stuff. That's quite a, you know, no disrespect to Boreham Wood, but like, he was all right, I think. But
Yeah.
anyway, I digress. Also, with those boys coming in, they both signed 3 year contracts. Now, if I'm a free agent from League Two or even League One, and I'm doing a sideways move, definitely signing that contract. What's the worst that can happen, right? I get my money for 3 years. If I do well, I go somewhere else for a higher up the ladder. So, yeah, you're right. Good contracts are on the table for these boys particularly.
Yeah.
Jacob says, which positions do we need to strengthen and what should be our priority? We kind of covered that one really quite a few times. Any player suggestions? No, I honestly, I need to do some scouting because I've got no idea what's available and
I'll
I'm
give you
jumping
one.
on Transfermarkt,
I'll
but.
give you one. This is one that I picked on last year, as well, when I was thinking of like I did a little piece on like trying to bring players through from the MLS or something last summer. Because
Okay.
I watch quite a lot of that league over here. Take a look at left back for the New England Revolution, Duane Jones. He's playing some B team games for America now. Really, really talented at pushing forward, kind of like a Nesta Guinness Walker, but less flashy and more effective, I would say. He's just very, very solid at getting the ball into spaces on the ground in the box, which is something that you need. A lot of goals are scored from cutbacks. So, yeah, that's probably if we could get any player, I would pick him.
I mean, if anyone's listening from the club and they're looking to kind of outsource some of their coaching, I'm pretty sure that Ross would do it on a freelance
Exactly.
basis for America, a North American correspondent or something.
Exactly. And Reading's got a great history of North American players. So like bring
We
him.
have.
So yeah.
Yeah, Bobby Convey, my favourite player of all time. So
That's oh yeah, well up there for me as well.
Rob Miller says, what's going to happen to the women's team? I'm going to stop you there, Rob, because we're going to have a deepish dive in that next week. We've got Abby coming in from Ascot United fame. You might know her from that, but also from football in Berkshire, which does a lot on kind of Reading's women as well. So she's going to be on, and we're going to answer that in a lot more detail, Rob. So tune in next week to answer that fully. Jonathan asks or says, I'm not a huge Joe Lumley fan, but given our current situation, I feel like it'd be a good signing. Kind of covered that one, really, to be
I
honest,
will.
but.
I'll do one little extra point on that, Ben. I'm actually a little more convinced. So Anderson is, I'm not too fussed if we start the season like that, but I wouldn't be too upset if we dive back into the market in a non-Joe Lumley way, at goalkeeper. I wouldn't be surprised if we start the season, without one. It might be a transfer deadline day sort of pickup rather than a before the season thing. Goalkeepers often are. They need a little bit less time to bed in. But yeah, I wouldn't mind if we did dip into the transfer market again. I'm just not convinced by Joe Lumley as a.
Yeah, he's the right option. Yeah, it's a good point. Lyle says, why haven't we still had a statement from the club on everything regarding the charges? And also, are we able to pay transfer fees? Lyle, we're gonna park that one because we're gonna cover that one next week a little bit more in terms of not just the women's team, but kind of what's going on with the club generally and how that's looking. So we will come back to that one next week. SP37, this is a great one, actually. It's a great question because I completely forgot about this person. Not SP37, but
Right,
what
we
he's
never
saying.
forget.
Well, yeah, exactly. Any news on Ajaria? I mean, that's weird, right? That's really odd. That something just doesn't sit. Again, I'm just a talking head on this, right? But there is something not quite right here. On his day, and that's such a football cliche term, and I hate it, but I've just used it, so you're just gonna have to deal with it. It's just not. I don't understand. I don't get it. I haven't even, well, obviously, not like I go around his house and the rest of it in terms of seeing him, but he's not being talked about to my
Yeah.
knowledge. He's not being seen at any games to my knowledge. He's not even been in contention. I don't even know if he went on the plane to Spain. No idea.
I don't know.
And also Jamara Clark not involved in a pre-season games. I mean, that's a great spot because I'd forgotten about him as well, with all due respect.
No,
I
that's a
mean,
really good one.
what are you thinking about those two players?
You know, with Ovi at this point, I'm just kind of like, I hope he's okay.
Yeah,
Not even in like a playing way or anything like that. He's just been gone as a person for so long. Like honestly, since like towards the end of the Pownoe days, that I'm getting to the point where I'm just wondering. I have no idea. I'm getting to the point where I'm wondering if there's something going on with him, and I hope he's okay. That's about all I have left with Ovi. I'm pretty convinced that I'm not going to see him again in a Reading shirt. If I do, great. Or if we do get to see that, great. If he can play again, but I'm getting to the point with him where we don't know what's happened. It's probably partly down to him, partly down to the club, and partly down to things that we just have no idea about. So I just kind of hope he's all right.
And I guess the club aren't going to come out and go, he's not playing for XYZ reasons. Like there was a lot of stuff with Paul Ince again, this was kind of part of my issue in that he was kind of going out of his way to almost lie about stuff about players, and that just was it just didn't sit well with me, and I'm sure other people listening to this as well. But yeah, I mean, that is a good point about Ovie, and I guess, the stats bods at TTE Towers will tell us, will be able to tell us how long his contract's for and all the rest of it. But actually, it's not, yeah, it's just not quite right, is it? There's something not quite right there. Peter Muttier, again, thanks for chipping in, Peter. We had a couple of questions from you previously, so thank you for that. At our level, is it worth having a full academy system? Yes. Is the short answer to that. Like, we need all the help we can get. Obviously we've got Cat One back, which we haven't even discussed on this pod so far, which is great news. Should never have lost it. That's my kind of flat out stern answer to that. I wonder if we will only ever be able to retain the good prospects and will always lose the great ones to bigger clubs and get next to nothing for them. Yeah, I mean, we're a feeder club, aren't we?
But those exist down in the lower leagues, right? Like, you look at Crewe, would be the obvious example, maybe gone off the boil a little bit, but Crewe have basically kept themselves in the league with their academy for decades. And they've sent some players higher up, but there's a difference, right, between like a Premier League or Championship player and a League One or League Two player. And there are some players who are forever going to be great at those lower leagues, and they just can't really step it up to the higher level. If your academy can churn out guys like that that are capable of helping you in League One to get out of the league, and then you can sell them back into the league afterwards, like players do when they get, or like teams do, sorry, when they get promoted from the Championship, they often sell players back down into the Championship. Whatever Reading can do to create positive profit at the moment, because that's what academy players are for the most part, is just profit on the books. Great. So for me, the academy, and congratulations to them getting the status or category one status again. Really, really good news.
I just like we were able to sell someone soon from the academy is good because I cannot every time Elise does something, I'm
Yeah.
really sorry for Emily. Like I just we need something else to moan about. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just yeah, we know we're for 8 million. Like it's just the way of the world at that time. It is what it is. Here's one for you. Alistair hashtag die out says, how long will it take to bed in the new players' slow start to the season?
I think so. I hope I'm wrong. Like, there's many times in my life where I hope I'm wrong, and this would be one of them. But I can't see them starting particularly quickly unless Nibs and Sam Smith hit the ground running. Smith, from what I can gather, seems to have some of his like runs, or some of his goal scoring done in like little runs where he scores quite a few. So unless we get some sort of early goal scoring run from somebody, I think that it's going to be a tricky start to the season. Unless, of course, the tactics that Sellers is able to put in are just a revelation this league, and we can burn ourselves right out of it. But I think that you watch what Notts County did last season. Teams have the internet now. Teams can learn how to play in all kinds of different styles, no matter what. There are certainly still guys who look like Vinnie Jones kicking seven bells out of people in League One and League Two, but there's also guys now that understand the nuances of positional play and all of this kind of stuff. So slow start, but I think we could really kick on.
I guess in terms of bedding them in, I guess it depends how quickly you can add them or how quickly sellers can add them. So, yeah, 4 week of training ahead, which I think is only going to be a positive thing. Get a few more players through the door, keep chipping away at those instructional tasks and go from there, really. Final question from a guy called Mark Mayo. Literally never heard of him. But he slid into our WhatsApp group somehow. And he says, if Veljko Paunovic was a glass of full-bodied Serbian red wine and Paul Ince a pint of frothy amber ale, what's Ruben Sellers?
Ooh.
It's not Madry, because I'll tell you what, Madry is literally just Spanish branded Carling. So he's not that.
Let's say that he's a creative sangria,
Ooh, I like that. Homemade sangria.
Well, I think so, but with some like elements that he's brought in, just to give it a little extra spice, that's the, and of course with a tiny little bit of Red Bull poured in it.
I mean, typical Mark, he's answered his own question, which is what it was like on the pod with him every single week. He said, He's a two-thirds pint of mango pilsner.
Mango
Tell
pills.
me, you live in Bristol without telling me you don't live in Bristol.
Didn't even know that
Or
they.
rather the other way around, whatever. But he
Didn't
lives in
know
Bristol, so he's used to all that nonsense.
that. I didn't know they were allowed to make mango pilsners.
Should be out, shouldn't it?
Seriously, yeah. So no, I don't know about that. Something a little bit more Latin inspired for our first Spanish manager.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe we'll ask him. Maybe if we get him at some point, we can ask him. I don't know. If you were a drink, what would you describe yourself as? I don't know.
Nice.
Right, that leaves us very swiftly to the week ahead, Ross. In a minute and a half, what we've got coming up? What do you think will happen, and what do you know will happen?
I am hoping that Sellers is right about these signings, that we start to actually bring them through the door through Tuesday and Wednesday, and we get as much training as possible to work on them. It's the game against Southampton at the end of the week, I believe. So,
Yeah, the small matter of a game against the championship side. But
Panic. of course, also betting in new players, also betting in a new manager. We've seen Russell Martin sometimes work great and sometimes really, really good at going sideways. So we could see anything then. I think it's just a case of, like you've said a few times, full week on the training ground, get players in as soon as possible. And I know that Sellers is going to be working hard. It seems like the players like him already. They're listening to him intently. Let's see how that works out.
Yeah, I think the kit will be out this week as well. Should be announced to
Ooh.
be or be officially in inverted commas released. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's doing the rounds on social media. But
My brain
yeah,
hasn't
I would
worked out how I
imagine
feel about that one yet. I love Reading kits, but that one's on the line for me.
the grey. I love the grey one. I'm
Okay.
not. I like the kind of the attitude and the ethos behind the high one, but it's not.
Yeah. I think with both of them, I'm like, idea, great. Execution, yeah, sure. Is kind of how I feel. So yeah.
That just wraps us up for this week. Thank you so much for listening to episode 343, our third one, hat trick ball for myself and Ross. We're kind of getting into the groove now, so hopefully you feel that way as well. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. Ross, have a splendid week, sir.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good week.
And we will see you next time. As I said, we've got Abby as our special guest coming on to do a little bit of a deepest dive on Reading women. Come on, you Rs.